Amen and amen. What an awesome time of worship we have had thus far. And I don't know where you are, however, I'm here in the church, and to hear the singing from the children, to hear the beautiful story from Sonia, the uplifting testimony from Marty of what God has been doing has just been awesome. And I just love that last song, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow." Because his hands are able to take on board my life and my future. And so it's come now time for us to open up God's Word. And we have our president of the South Pacific Division, the one that has been nominated by our church here in this part of the world to take care of the needs, or to lead out, I should say, in the needs of ministering God's love and God's word and God's final message of love to the world, to those who live in the South Pacific region. And here at our church, we love to pray for our leaders. We want to uplift them before God and their families, because they have a heavy responsibility on their shoulders. And so, Pastor Glenn, we just want to thank you so much for coming to Hillview Church and for being part of our worship service. And at this point, I just want to have a prayer for you and your family and your leadership, that God will bless you. Let's just pause and pray. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you so much for all of your blessings. Father, at this time, we want to ask and pray a special blessing upon Pastor Glenn Townend. He has been appointed by your people to lead the work, to lead your work in this part of the world. Father, if ever there was a time when your leaders needed wisdom from on high, if ever there was a time when your leaders needed the Holy Spirit to fill them in a mighty way, it is now. We are literally on the edge of eternity. We can almost hear the trumpet sounding and Jesus coming. Surely, dear Lord, the things that are taking place around us are telling us that the coming of Jesus is near, even at the doors. And so, Father, we ask and pray in a mighty way through your Holy Spirit that you will lead and guide our dear brother, your servant, Glenn, and that he will be used as a mighty tool in your hand in order to lead our church here in the South Pacific region, in order that we may go forth and share the gospel with fire, with urgency, and with great love and passion. So bless him now as he opens your word, and thank you again that you have brought him to us here. Bless him, bless his family, bless our church here in this part of the world, and bless your people around the world as we share the good news that Jesus is coming back soon. And for that, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, and God bless you.
Amen. Yeah, amen, Danny. And it is good to be at Hillview, but usually there's hundreds of people here, and some that I know, family, friends, and even work colleagues, but you're all there at the end of the screen and down that particular camera. And it is good to be with you. I want to just remind us of our mission. It's there and it says, make disciples of Jesus Christ who live as his loving witnesses and proclaim to all people the everlasting gospel of the three angels' messages in preparation for his soon return. If we ever needed to know what we're about, it is now. Are we about that disciple making? And if we are and are faithful, we can see with God what we can become. And that is a thriving Adventist movement, living our hope in Jesus and transforming the Pacific. And I'm going to share a little bit about how we're doing that and how I believe we can do more there. And just recently, we've voted a purpose statement, and the reason for that is we have to, as a charity, all churches are charities, to report on our purpose to the Australian Charities Commission, and we are to inspire hope and wholeness of life in our communities. And I hope that we can even do that now. Just want to tell you what Pam and I have been doing. Usually we live in the Central Coast, and go to the office at Wirunga and back usually takes an hour and a half. And we say, well, we've got an extra hour and a half. Well, let me tell you, it gets extra work at home and all the Zoom flat screen meetings and all of that. But we said, what can we do for our community? And on the AUC website, there is this little card, calling card, and it just says, hello, I'm here to help. And it's got our name and where we live, the street we live in, and Pam's phone number. I didn't need any more phone calls. And then there was a need, if there's any need for shopping or a phone call or doing some errands or supplies during the pandemic, we're happy to help. So we letterboxed this card to 400 houses, and we've got 24 responses, many of them elderly, just ringing and saying, it's so nice to know that we've got a neighbour somewhere who's willing to come and help when we need it. We're okay now. And then we've got 24 responses, and most of them were text messages. And they said, oh, wow, we're so glad that we have neighbours who think of us and that are doing this neighbourly thing. And as I was reading them, I thought I was a pretty good person. But I'm not sure that I'm that good. But it just shows you, just a little act of kindness can make a big thing, be a big deal to other people when they're a little stressed and fearful. And that's fulfilling our mission. Also, the Science Publishing Company has just last week published this little brochure. It's a glow track, and it says coronavirus versus your immune system. And I don't know if you've seen glow tracks before. They're not very big. And it's just got some really good health information, including spiritual health. And if people want more information, they contact the Discovery Centre through Adventist Media, and all of those details are on the back. Pam and I ordered 10,000 of these. We've already delivered about 500. And even this morning, there were some people Pam met at the the entrance to the Hillview Church, some of the church people and some of our office people who took 1,000 or more of these little brochures to give out in this area. And we think, hey, people are interested at this particular time. We may as well make the most of it, because really we all want to be a disciple. And a disciple is someone who in every way is becoming more like Jesus Christ. And what we've been doing, I guess, is just preparing the soil and sowing the seed in a whole harvest cycle. And we've got big opportunity to do that now, but we've got to do it creatively. And I can tell you, the church is being very creative. And even just all of this live streaming and the great stories that we had from Sonia and Marty and the singing from the young people, it's happening all over the place. A lot of good creativity, but the whole purpose is that we want to see a harvest for Jesus. And in South America last week, an evangelist ran a public evangelistic program on Facebook, and every meeting he had more than 1 million people watching him, and had 2,000 requests for baptism over Facebook. This next month, John Bradshaw of It Is Written International, based in the USA, is doing a social media public evangelistic program. And I know many in Australia are going to participate in that. Gary Webster from the Institute of Public Evangelism here in Australia is working, or in our division, South Pacific, is also working on public program. People have time, they want answers, and we've got to creatively meet the need. And I'm so glad that we're doing that. And I believe it is a way that is really going to help us penetrate the cities, because you can see on the slide there, in the Trans-Pacific, we have one in 20 people are Adventists, but in Australia and New Zealand cities, it's 1 to 2,000 in some parts. And if we can, and this is where the coronavirus is hitting most significantly, and I believe that we can have a big, we can make a big difference at this particular time to the cities of Australia and New Zealand. Let me tell you what's happening in Papua New Guinea. This next month, May, was to be their huge harvest program with 2,000 simultaneous sites of public evangelism. Well, they're not allowed to do that. And we thought that they would be really disappointed, and they were a little. But the reports we're getting from Papua New Guinea saying it is so good that we don't have to do that. Because of the pandemic, people are more interested in scripture, and we've been trained through the discipleship ministry team and through the team there in Papua New Guinea to do these Bible discovery reading groups. And in some provinces, they're allowed to have up to 100 people. In others, it's 20. And where they have the coronavirus, it's 5. But they're meeting in small groups, and they're saying hundreds of people are coming. Many former Adventists, many people who want to be Adventists, to these discovery Bible reading groups, where they just open the Bible, they read it a couple of times, they tell it amongst themselves again, and then they ask some simple questions and discuss it together. And just this week, we got a report from the CPIC mission. Their pictures were not of good quality, so I didn't share them. But in the CPIC mission, they just opened up a new church and amongst three new villages in a completely new area through young people using the Discovery Bible reading material, which is pretty simple stuff. What I've got on screen is Pastor Gary Lalkey from the Bedang Manus mission, who trained 4 people in the Discovery Bible reading. They then trained these people, and they all were given the World Changer Bibles, which is the Bibles that we at the South Pacific Division have for youth and for schools. And this group used it, and they have planted this last year 16 churches in Medang and around Medang, and this is one of the churches there. And this is what we're hearing back from all over Papua New Guinea. Even though they wanted the big public programs, people are still able to gather according to the rules, and instead of doing the public programs, they're reading scripture together, and that's a really important thing. Also in Papua New Guinea, we now have Adventist radio, Faith FM, that is covering 70% of the country. Now, when I was there opening the station, and this was a year or so ago, we only covered Lae and Port Moresby, but now it's covering 70% of the country, and we'll be able to get 90%, which is about 100% for the country very soon. But they are getting hundreds of requests daily. We want sermons. What's happening to our world? How can we find hope? When is Jesus returning? How can we be healthy and not get this virus? And the local leaders are being able to share their messages on the Adventist radio there. All throughout the Pacific, every country has Hope Channel in some form. And this is in American Samoa, where they have it. And our Adventist leaders are sharing material which national broadcasters are asking for and showing on national television. These are Adventist presidents in countries like Tonga, Fiji, are being shown to the whole country to give them some hope and peace at this time. And this is the radio tower in Kiribati. Kiribati hasn't shut down. And the local mission president reported, We have never seen the churches as full as they are in Kiribati now. They are full to overflowing. And our radio station, now this is a real blessing. The fellow that you see on the screen, he used to be the manager for the government radio station. He retired. He's an Adventist. Guess what he's doing in retirement? He is running our radio. And again, they're getting requests. We want to know how we can stop this virus because they know in Kiribati, they don't have the facilities to deal with it. And that's why people, they are scared and they're going to God for answers. In Fiji, they're producing 24 hours every week of Fijian television in Fijian, Hindi and English. And here's some of the programs there. And they, television has been watched and Hope TV, it's Hope Channel TV, more than anything, because people are looking for what the church can do. In fact, it was the Hope FM, which covers 90, both the television and radio in Fiji covers 90% of the country. And Cyclone Harold went through Fiji last week as well. And because of lockdown, there have been, were people isolated, and because of flooding, they couldn't get food, and they made appeals through to Adventist Hope FM. And then Adventist Hope FM contacted the local pastors in the area and said there were people, and they told them where they were, who do not have food. So the local pastors got permission to buy food and take it to these people through the radio programs. You can imagine the joy that that brings to people and how we can say that we are truly ministering to new people on a continual basis. Here's just some pictures of what happened in Vanuatu, restoring ADRA, restoring water, and then kids playing games in one of the safe facilities, and then giving seed to people because all their gardens have been ruined. Vanuatu was the country that was hit most by Cyclone Harold, but this is also in Fiji, one of the villages there. And I just told you a story of from Fiji. And this is the pastor's house in Iwa, or Ia Island, just off Tongatapu in Tonga. And I have been there, and to see it like that is not a pleasant thing. And the Aori school, seven of the staff houses almost completely destroyed and one classroom block completely destroyed. That's on top of their physical distancing and dealing with the pandemic and all of that. So they need our prayers and support. And as a church, I can say it's so good to know that even though these people are going through these tough times, they're seeing some really positive things, and ministry is happening. But at this time, people are really asking, what is God doing about suffering? Does God really care? Now, I thought I could put up a slide of how many people have had the coronavirus, COVID-19, and how many people have passed away and how many people have recovered. But we see that every day. We can get it on our phones and computers at a like that. We know that people are suffering. We know that people are dying. We know there is panic. We know that there's tension because of the social distancing. What's God doing about it? Does he really care? Well, the first thing that I thought about is that the scriptures are clear. God is love. The Lord, a merciful God and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. I have loved you with an everlasting love. God is love is the theme of Scripture. So if God is love, he does desire to do something if people suffer. Secondly, God is all-powerful and he could do something if he wanted about suffering. As the angel said, is anything too hard for the Lord to Sarah and Abraham? Jesus to the apostles, with God all things are possible. And the prophet Isaiah says, my purpose will stand. Yes, God can do something for suffering. But the good thing is that my Bible says it's realistic because it includes people's cry for justice. Help me. I'm hurting. I'm not doing too well. My enemies are doing better than me. Others are looking after themselves and not me. What about me? It's not fair. Is there something that you're doing, God? And look at Psalm 13. How long must I have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? Why, O Lord, do you reject me, says the sons of Korah. And even the saints under the altar in the seals say, how long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood? When we're suffering, we want a remedy. So what is God doing about suffering? With his power, with his love, what does he do? I want you to come to Genesis. And Genesis chapter 6, because all good theology is based in the foundational book of Scripture, the first book, Genesis. And there in Genesis 6, we start to get the story of Noah and the flood. But as part of the introduction, it says there in Genesis 6, verses 5 and 6, and let me read it, New Living Translation, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything that they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. Do you hear that? Did you see that? God looks at what's happening on the earth. There's not just the COVID-19 situation. There is domestic violence. There is sexual crime. There is still people at war and killing each other. There are still refugees everywhere. There are other illnesses and issues. And it says here, at the time before the flood, God saw all of this happening. And he said, these are the people that I made. They've made a big mistake. And all that they're doing, it breaks his heart. And so the first thing we need to remember is that God suffers because of the people. Now, I don't know whether God sleeps. But if he did need sleep, would he ever get a good one with all of the things that is happening and the fact that it says that our wickedness breaks his heart? As we go over just to the next book, come with me to Exodus chapter 3. And God is speaking to Moses and calling Moses, the prince of Egypt, to go and lead the people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. And it says there in chapter 3 and verse 7 to 10, then the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own and fertile and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And then it lists the people who are living there then and says, look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me. I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abuse them. Now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh. You must lead my people Israel out of Egypt. God hears, he sees, he feels the suffering of the people. And it is at his good time, he acts. And as I've studied Scripture, it's very clear to me that my God suffers because of people's suffering. But that's not all. My God also suffers with the people. Come back to Genesis chapter 3. This is the story of Adam and Eve and them being in the garden with the tree of knowledge and good and evil, as well as the tree of life. And then the snake, the serpent deceiving them. I remember telling this, preaching on Genesis 3 in an Aboriginal community. And afterwards, an Aboriginal, one of the people there, came up to me and he said, let me tell you what happened when this story first went to the, was given by the missionaries to some of our people. And I said, yeah, tell me. He said, well, when they heard the story, they said Adam and Eve could not have been Aboriginal. And the missionary said, look, Adam and Eve were the parents of all humans. They were the first, and all of us are descendants of Adam and Eve. And the Aboriginal people said no, because if they were Aboriginal, they would have killed the snake and eaten it and thrown the fruit away. And I tell you, after hearing that from my Aboriginal friend, I wished Adam and Eve were Aboriginal. That would have been good. But here in the story, it says that as soon as they eat the fruit and are deceived by the serpent, they know their life has changed. They realize they're naked. There's guilt. There's shame. But notice what God does. Verse 8, when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they hid from the Lord God from among the trees. And then the Lord God called to the man, where are you? And he replied, I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked. Yes, the serpent brings fear. And it changed Adam and Eve. But what does God do? God comes to be with his people in their new experience of suffering. God doesn't shirk his responsibilities. He doesn't stay distant and a long way away. He comes down looking for his children, asking of their goodness and if they're okay, because that is what God is like. He suffers with people. And if we ever needed a better story, is the one of the incarnation of Jesus. When the angel Gabriel came to Joseph, he said, yes, you call him Jesus because the one you're betrothed to, Mary, will have a son. Jesus means he will save their people from their sin, but he is also to be called Emmanuel, God with us. God came down to our level because we couldn't get up to his. And he comes down in our suffering. Come to John chapter 1 and verse 14. It's a well-known verse, but it's good at these times that we let it burn into our hearts and minds and souls again. John 1:14. So the Word became flesh, or human, and made his home among us. He dwelt with us, and he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory and the glory of the Father's one and only Son. God suffers because of our pain, but God also chose to suffer with us in our pain. And Jesus came as God's Son, as God in the flesh, to experience exactly our experience. He suffers with us. But that's not all. Let's go back to Genesis, the foundation of all good theology, and back to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, and when God and Adam and Eve finally make contact in the garden after them taking the fruit and them realizing their nakedness and life had changed because of their sin. At the end of that dialogue, verse 21 says something really significant. Genesis 3 and verse 21. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. Adam and Eve had covered themselves with fig skins, leaves. Now, I don't know about you, they may have lasted a day or two. I certainly know there are cultures that use the leaves of various trees as part of their clothing, and they've got to change it every few days or a week. They were naked. And God realizes they needed a covering. And God has said, here in all that he has made, everything is good, very good. But he also said sin would lead to death. But it is God who takes first blood. God suffers for the people. He takes an animal that he has created, and it's a substitute to cover the nakedness, shame and guilt for Adam and Eve. God took first blood. He bore the pain so Adam and Eve could have hope. God suffers for his people. So God suffers because of the people. God suffers with the people, but he suffers for them. And the prophet Isaiah is probably the one who most clearly captures this in Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. It's one of the chapters about the suffering servant that Isaiah speaks of. And as I thought about it, I think I want to read the whole chapter, because just reading scripture is making a huge impact in Papua New Guinea. And as I read it again a few times this week, it really spoke to my soul. So join with me, or listen as I read in the New Living Translation, Isaiah 53. Who has believed our message? To whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like a root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract him to us. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we didn't care. Yet it was our weaknesses he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins, but he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sin of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was a lamb led. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep he's silent before the shearers, he didn't open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants and that his life was cut short in midstream, but he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and to cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servants will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honours of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. And as I read that again, it just reminded me, wow, Jesus, God became flesh. He suffers with us for 33 years. He knows our experiences. He tastes them. But then he tasted death on our behalf. And the punishment and the evil that we deserved because of Adam and Eve's sin and our sin and the predicament that we're in and the suffering that we cause and is sometimes unjust and all of that. He says, I will bear it all. I will take it. And because Jesus has taken it all, I'm righteous. I have hope. I've got a covering. I've got a future because he conquered death and he's coming back. And sin and suffering and pain and death, it's gone. But God's very active when we suffer. I remember, as a pastor, this happened a few times. That one particular comes to mind was in a small group of ladies, and one of them began to explain that she struggled to believe in God and having faith because her husband just left her with two young children. She's just lost her job. She can't support those two young children. The support she had is all gone. She's on her own. She's abandoned. And she's saying, where is God in all of this? Doesn't he see my pain and my suffering? Doesn't he know what's happening? And as we listened as a group, the pain was real. But then some of the other ladies and myself began to share the fact that God suffers when we suffer. He suffers with us. He suffers because of us. And he suffered for us. And when we explained the gospel story of what Jesus did, it was amazing. The tears welling up, a Holy Spirit moment, that yes, although the abandonment and the fear of trying to live on our own and support children and all of that was still real, there was a God who understood it and was going to be with her and would ultimately help her. And let me tell you, that other group did as well. And that's where I guess we as church come in, because we too, knowing that our ultimate needs are met by the God who suffers for us, we can go in ministry and help people who are suffering. And so Hillview Church, I just hope God has blessed you as much as he blessed me as I've gone through and prepared this message. It gave me so much hope. God suffers when we suffer, but God's own suffering ultimately deals with the cause of that suffering and that pain and evil. And you and I have got hope. May we live our hope as our vision says, and go out and transform the lives of those around us who are really suffering at the moment. Bless you all.
Thanks for your message, Pastor Townend. Let's sing together this song that talks about what Jesus went through for us, above all.
Let's pray. Jesus, there's a lot of things happening in the world at the moment that we don't completely understand. There is a lot of pain and suffering, more than we've seen for a long time. And it causes our hearts to tremble and worry and fear, and to be full of grief and sorrow. And we come to you in prayer, just praying for all of those who are ministering to those in need because of this pandemic. Give them courage and uplift them. But we thank you also that we know that you are a God who suffers because of us, and you suffer with us, and you've suffered for us. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Thank you, and thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus. And we pray it in his name, praying that we can be that living hope to others and relieve suffering this week. Jesus, we pray it. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Glenn Townend, and I pray that you have been blessed wherever you have been watching this worship service from. And I want to encourage you to invite someone on along at the same time, same place. Next week, we'll once again be worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, sharing the good news of salvation. As we have been reminded, there is so much bad news in the world today. We don't need to be reminded of that, but we need to hear some good news. So why don't you do someone a huge favor and invite them along next week, same time, same place, to join us in God's holy word as we worship together and proclaim the good news of salvation, the good news that we have in Jesus Christ and that he's coming back soon. May God bless you wherever you are for the rest of this day and for the rest of this week. Stay safe, keep safe. If you need some help, as I shared earlier, please let us know. If you live around the Morisset, Currumbong area and you need some help, you need some shopping done on your behalf or whatever that help may be, please get in touch with us on our Hillview Adventist Church website, Hillview Seventh-day Adventist Church. Just Google that and you'll come to our website. You may be watching from that site. You may be on Facebook. Wherever you are, just find us, get in touch with us, and we want to help you. If you want to continue with your spiritual journey, you've got questions, you want prayer, you want to just spend time talking to someone, please get in touch with me. I'd love to connect with you and help you on your spiritual journey as we prepare for the soon return of Jesus. And next week, I'll be sharing another message on the second coming of Jesus. We're going to continue in this series that we began some 3 weeks ago, and we're going to unpack another precious message from God's Word on how we can prepare ourselves as well as prepare those around us for the soon return of Jesus. If you'd like to see any of the previous messages, they're all on our website. You can just go on there this afternoon, this week, and you're able to watch those previous messages. Once again, thank you so much, Pastor Glenn. God bless you and your dear wife, Pamela, and your entire family, and thank you for coming and ministering to us. And I want to thank the entire worship team for the wonderful ministry that they have blessed us with. And may God bless you, and happy Sabbath until we meet again. God bless you, and bye for now.